Open your Bibles, please, to the book of Acts, chapter 15. Acts chapter 15 in your Scofield Bible, page 1169. Beginning with verse 12, we'll read through verse 18. We'll read the verses responsively. Acts 15, verses 12 through 18, page 1169 in your Scofield Bible. Let's stand, please, for the reading of the Word of God. The text verse is the 14th verse. Then all the multitude kept silence and gave audience to Barnabas and Paul, declaring what miracles and wonders God had wrought among the Gentiles by them. And after they had held their peace, James answered, saying, Men and brethren, hearken unto me. Simeon hath declared how God at the first did visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. And to this agree the words of the prophets, as it is written, After this I will return and will build again the tabernacle of David, which is fallen down, and I will build again the ruins thereof, and I will set it up, that the residue of men might seek after the Lord, and all the Gentiles upon whom my name is called, saith the Lord, who doeth all these things. And let's finish on verse 18 together. Known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world. Let's pray. Father, we thank you on this evening that there's a good crowd here. We're thankful that there are those who would rather listen to the preacher than do what many other folks are doing tonight, which comparatively is a waste of time. We're thankful that we have this good group of folks who've come out, members, visitors, those who've assembled, and we pray that you'd bless the crowd tonight. Bless, we pray, and help us individually to want to hear from heaven and to desire something from thee. Toward that end, bless our preacher with power. In Jesus' name, amen.
Now, Holy Father, we come to the book. Help us to do it justice. Bless me as I speak, and all of these there, thousands of people as they listen tonight. Give some glory to thyself and honor and praise through it all. In Jesus' name, amen. I prepare my sermons. I work hard on them. Sometimes I'll spend 15, 20 hours on one sermon and then preach it in 30 minutes and go back to my office and say, boy, it's a shame that I can't do that again because I worked so hard to get it done. Most of my sermons are line upon line and precept upon precept, and I pretty well know what I'm going to say when I start. Now, I've worked harder on this sermon than I've worked on a sermon in a long time, but I don't know what's going to come out. I have outlined this thing and re-outlined it, and I have repositioned different points. I had a point one, and I changed it to point five, then I tried and changed it to point three. The order of this sermon has been changed time and time again, and probably changed several times while I'm preaching it tonight. I'm speaking on that text over there we read a while ago. Simeon had declared how God at first did visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. I'm speaking tonight on the subject, a people for his name. You'll get a little different slant on what the name of Jesus is all about. And let's see how it comes out. The writer said, Jesus is the sweetest name I know. And he's just the same as his own dear name. And that's the reason why I love him so, for Jesus is the sweetest name I know. Another wrote, Jesus, oh, how sweet the name. Jesus, every day the same. Jesus, let all saints proclaim his worthy praise forever. Elisha Hoffman wrote, down at the cross where my Savior died, glory to his name. And Frederick Whitfield wrote, there is a name I love to hear. I love to sing its worth. It sounds like music in mine ear. The sweetest name on earth. William Hunter said, sweetest name on mortal tongue, sweetest carol ever sung, Jesus, blessed Jesus. Luther Bridges said, Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know, fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. Lydia Baxter said, take the name of Jesus with you, child of sorrow and of woe. And John Rippon wrote, all hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall, bring forth the royal diadem and crown him as Lord of all. I'm going to sort of back up tonight and take a little different approach at the name of Jesus. Matthew 6:9 says, hallowed be thy name. In 1 Samuel 12:22, one of the most marvelous verses in the Bible, the Lord will not forsake his people for his name's sake. Hang that shingle up on security of the believer for a while. The Lord will not forsake his people for his name's sake. What he's saying is, his reputation's at stake. And since he said he wouldn't forsake his people, he won't forsake his people because he signed it and said he wouldn't forsake his people. How about Psalm 72:19? Blessed be his glorious name. In Psalm 119, verse 9, holy and reverend is his name. That's the only place you'll find the word reverend in the Bible. And that's why I do not call myself Reverend Hiles or call anybody else reverend to anybody, because the Bible says holy and reverend is his name. In Philippians 2:9, the Lord has given him a name that is above every name. And then in verse 10, at the name of Jesus, get it now, at the name of Jesus. Then say at the feet of Jesus. It said, at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Now, what does the word name mean in the Bible? It means the degree of integrity a person has. The Bible says a good name is rather chosen than great riches and loving favor rather than silver and gold. That's not talking about a good reputation. We've taught our boys and girls, you're supposed to have a good name. Everybody's supposed to speak well of you. You missed the whole thing. A good name means that when you sign it, it's going to happen. When you set it at the marriage altar and gave your vows, that takes care of it. The word means you are dependable, and whatever a good name you have is in direct proportion or ratio to what your dependability is. It means your degree of integrity. It means your degree of character. It means you're being able to be counted on. When the Bible says he has a name that is above every name, that means you count on him more than you count on anybody else in the whole universe. Now, I'm going to go back after I've given you those meanings of the word, what the name is all about. I'm not talking about a name written down on a piece of paper now. I'm talking what that name represents. For example, you sign a contract to pay. Now, your schedule of payment is as good as your name is. I often get calls from the bank in the area, and they'll say, Reverend Howes, you have somebody here that we can't let them borrow money, but if you'll sign it, we'll let them have the money. I never do it. I'll give money away, but I won't sign anybody's note. I just want to tell you that so my office won't be rushed tonight after the service. If I let you think I signed your notes, I'd have more people than wanted Super Bowl tickets at my office tonight. But it means this. It means that my name on that note is as good as your payment. And they know that. Now, when it says, for example, go back to the Scriptures. It says concerning Jesus, hallowed be thy name. The word hallowed comes from the word sanctified, set apart. It means this. It means his name is in a league all by itself. It means that his name is the only one you can totally depend upon. It means that you can depend upon his words. It means that you can trust his character, and it means that when he says it, it's true. Now, if he says it is true, I wish a bunch of these so-called scholars quit fiddling with what he said. You can depend upon what he said. That's what it means. When he says the Lord will not forsake his people for his great name's sake, that means that his name is at stake. God said, no man can pluck them out of my hand. God said, him that cometh me, I will in no wise cast out. So why am I secure? Because the character, reputation, and integrity, and the value of the name of Jesus Christ is at stake. And if I could lose my salvation, you couldn't depend on Jesus anymore, because he said I couldn't lose my salvation. But it says in Psalm 72:19, blessed be his glorious name. What does it mean? It means honor him because he's dependable. And in Psalm 119:11-9, holy and reverent is his name. That means he is the only one who's always dependable. Now, I try to be dependable, but sometimes I'm going to forget, but he's not going to forget. Sometimes I may misunderstand what I promised to do. He's not going to misunderstand what he promised to do. Sometimes I misstate what I intend to do. He never misstates what he intends to do. In Philippians 2:9, a name that is above every name. That means no name is as dependable as his name is. And at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. That means one of these days, every stinking liberal professor is going to bow down and say God meant what he said. Everybody that says the Bible doesn't mean what it says and Jesus doesn't mean what it says, every single liberal professor, every single atheist, and every certain single Madeleine Murray O'Hare will bow down and say you can depend upon Jesus, what he said was true. People that say that when Jesus said, depart from me into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels, people say that isn't true. They won't be in hell 5 minutes till they'll bow down and admit you can depend on the name of Jesus Christ. Every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord. Now, what are we to do about this name? I'm not talking about the written name now. I'm talking about what the name stands for. When you say Jack Scott, that stands for some things. When you say Ed Lapina, that stands for what he is. His name is, you say that's Ed Lapina, Dave Douglas. You're saying what he is. And when it says the name of Jesus, is talking about all that Jesus is. His integrity, his character, and his dependability. The Bible says in Psalm 148, verse 13, let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is excellent. So just get out in the woods somewhere and have a spell. And look up and say, praise you, Jesus, because you can be depended on. Praise God because he can be depended on. The Bible says, praise his name. What does it mean? It means praise him for his dependability. In Psalm 34:3, let us exalt his name together. What does that mean? That means spread the word that he's dependable. Let the whole world know he's dependable. When he said, let not your heart be troubled, believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions, then in his Father's house are many mansions. For now, so I will told you. He's saying, my name is on this now. I go and prepare a place for you. If he said he'd go and prepare a place for you, you can rest assured he's up there preparing a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place to you, I will come again. He said he'd come again. He is the only one who's always dependable. And bless God, if he said he's going to come again, he's going to come again. Exalt it. Spread the word. Let the whole world know our God is dependable. And spread his name. Bible says in Psalm 69 and verse 36, love his name. It says, they shall love his name that dwell therein. What does it mean? It means love him because you can depend on him. If he said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you, then he's always here. He'll never leave us or forsake us. If he says, those not found written in the book of life be cast in the lake of fire, you mark it down. If your name's not in the book of life, you're going to hell. You say, you tell me to go to hell? No, I'm saying you're going to hell. If Jesus said it, you can depend on it. His word is as good as reality, and what he says is true, and his name represents his dependability. In Psalm 29, verse 2, it says, give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. What does that mean? That a while ago it said, praise him for his name. Now give him glory for his name. That means I'm supposed to tell you how wonderful his name is. I've got a God that never fails. I've got a God whose word is always depended on. I've got a God who keeps every promise he said he ever has made. That's what it means. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That's not talking about that little J-E-S-U-S. That's talking about blessed be the character of the Lord. Blessed be the integrity of the Lord. Blessed be the honesty of the Lord. Blessed be the truthfulness of the Lord. Blessed be the dependability. I'm saying, hallelujah, you've got a God you can depend on. That's what I'm saying. Bible says in Acts 5:41, we're supposed to suffer for his name. It said they departed from the presence of the council rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. That means when I stand up and say there's only one Bible, that's the King, in the English language, and that's the King James Bible, if the theologians want to criticize me, let them have a heyday. They want to call me a nut, an arrow-minded fanatic, let them blab all they want to. They got to do something, they don't go soul winning. Never tell anybody about Jesus. They don't build any churches. Let the dumb theologians have some fun. Let them go ahead and criticize, but bless God, if he said it, that takes care of it. Now, as a young preacher, I had a sermon. You heard this little statement. I had a sermon. Point one, God said it. Point two, I believe it. Point three, that settles it. I changed that sermon. I took out the middle point. God said it, that settles it. Well, I believe it not, that settles it. And so, my Bible says, I'm to suffer for his name, and count a joy to suffer for his name. Now, when I suffer for his name, I'm suffering because, I tell you, he always tells the truth. I was in a meeting, a bunch of fellows were changing the Bible. God bless them. Why don't they get an honest job like working at McDonald's or something? Let them get an honest job. Well, he said he's got a PhD. Well, let him get an honest job like helping kids across the street going to school. Or digging ditches. Bunch of dirty crooks trying to change the words of God. You have to change the words of God. God said it, and that settles it. The Bible says I'm to preach his name, Acts 8:12. What does that mean? I'm supposed to do what I'm doing right now. I tell you, you can depend upon God. Bible says, and I'm to spread his name in Mark 6:14. That means I'm supposed to let the whole world know you can depend on this book and you depend on what God says. Colossians 3:17 says, I'm to do all in his name. And in Revelation 2:13, I'm to hold fast his name. Now the question comes, what do we have because of his name? Listen carefully. We have everything we have because of his name. You see, I've got a book here, and that book is the integrity of our God is at stake when I judge that book. I've decided that that book is all true. I'm talking about preserved truth. I'm not talking about changing some words. I'm talking about the King James Bible. Every word has been preserved just like God gave it. You say, well, you're not very scholarly. I met a scholar one time. I decided not to want to be very scholarly. PhD means post hole digger, or preach hell and damnation. BA means born again. Master's degree means I exalt the master. DD means I'm a devil destroyer. I don't give a hoot about who says they're scholarly. When a man, Bob Jones University, head of the theology department, stands up and says, and puts in print, we have no Bible, perfect Bible in the English language. He's a heretic. And they'll make popsicles in hell before I recommend somebody to set at his feet. We do have a Bible that's perfect. If that Bible's not perfect, I'm not preaching another sermon. If that Bible's not perfect, I won't try to make some money. If that Bible's not perfect, I'm laying down my ministry. If that Bible's not perfect, I'll not preach again. I'll not teach the Bible again. I'll not be pastor of a church again. I'm commanded to preach every word of that book. I've got to have an every word book. The whole thing is, can you or can you not depend upon God? My Bible says he has a name that is above every name. Which means he is the only one that's always dependable. You can depend upon him. What does that mean? That means then, there's some things we have. How do we know we have them? Because he said we do. That's his name. For example, Luke 24:47 says, we have remission of sins through his name. Now, that word remission is a good word. It means dismissed. My sins, God said to my sins, be dismissed. It means release, like a prisoner's released from prison. God said, open the door and let his sins out. What does it mean? It means they're taken off the books. Well, you say, Brother Howes, how do you know that your sins are taken off the books? Because he said they are, and his name can be depended on. Bible said, I have remission of sins through his name. This man right here, he's not perfect, but I trust his word. Now, if he ever says something and doesn't do what he said he'd do, then you misunderstood what he said, or he didn't put it clear enough. Because he'll do what he thinks he said, unless he forgets it. My wife the other day said, is your memory getting bad? I said, no, Jane. Two old men were talking. One of them said to the other, I'm losing my memory. And the other one said, I was, but I found a medicine that's cured it. I can remember everything. He said, good, what is it? He said, what's that flower that has thorns on it and has pretty petals and grows down Tyler, Texas? He said, Rose, yeah, Rose, what is the name of that medicine I'm taking? But God doesn't forget what he said. And God doesn't make a mistake and not put it clearly enough. And all of that, God gives you, if you're saved, the Holy Spirit to let you understand what he said. I'm trying to say, ladies and gentlemen, you can depend upon God in what he said. So if God said my sins are remitted or released or taken off his books or dismissed, how do I know it? He said it. And you can depend on his name. He says, I'm his child by his name. John 1:11-12, he came to his own. His own received him not, but to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to those that believe on his name. How do I know I'm God's son? He said it. I can depend on him. That's the whole story. This is a simple sermon, isn't it? But that's the whole thing. You say, Brother Howes, I know I'm saved because I tingled when I got saved. Wouldn't give you a dime for that. I know I'm saved because Jesus said if I trust him, realize I'm a sinner, realize I'm under the condemnation of God, realize that Jesus paid the penalty of my condemnation for me, and I'd rely upon him to take me to heaven. He said I'd go to heaven. And I believe, he said, hey, I believe in his name. When he signs it, it's true. You can depend on him. I'm saved not because I feel it, not because I shout it, not because I tingle, but because he said I'm saved. I'm his child because of his name. What he said is, I'll sign your note. I'll stake my reputation and I'll sign it. And I'm his child and know I am because of his name. And all of that, I'm not condemned because of his name. John 3:18, he that believeth on him is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already because he believeth not, he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. If you believe, now listen carefully, if you believe tonight that there's a heaven and there's a hell, if you believe tonight that there's a place where people go and live forever and walk down golden streets and through gates of pearl, serve God forever, as I said this morning, if you believe that, and if you believe there's a hell where you're burned forever and ever and ever and ever and ever in the lake of fire and brimstone, if you believe that, you'd get saved. And the reason that you don't get saved is because you don't trust his word. And the reason I am saved is because I trust his word. What does that mean? That means he says, I'll never be judged. I heard a preacher preach not long ago, God bless his pitiful heart. He said the day's going to come when God's going to show a movie of all your life. And the whole universe is going to sit there. Boy, you're sweating, aren't you? The whole universe is going to sit there and they're going to see a movie of all your life. His house now were in St. Thomas. We took some pictures. We went on a picnic. Had a camera. I'm talking about cost retail about $250. I mean, it did everything. It'd take your pictures, go down to the store and buy new film, bring it back. We went on a picnic. We took some pictures. Our $250 camera. We had a little sack of ice there. We didn't use all the ice, so I put the camera down in the bag of ice. Ice melts, especially in St. Thomas. We came back, and that camera was full of water because I was full of prunes. It wouldn't work. I tried to pour all the water out, and then I decided to clean the film. So I took that film out, I got my little handkerchief, and I cleaned off that film on both sides. That's exactly what God has done to my sins. Boy, that's a good illustration. That's exactly what God has done. Yeah, the devil went Kodaking, we used to call it now as a boy. Filmmaking, picture taking, went Kodaking. He took a bunch of pictures of what you've done. And he's going to have them developed. And God said, let me have them. I'm going to put the blood of Jesus on them. And I'm going to take every sin off of the film. You say, Brother House, are you trying to tell me that God's not going to show me my sins? God doesn't even know what your sins are. He's forgotten them in the sea of God's forgetfulness. That's good enough for me. I ask the attorney, praise God, my sins are gone. I'm trying to tell you tonight. You say, Brother House, how do you know that? Because his name. His name. His name's at stake. His name represents his integrity. His name represents his character. His name represents his dependability. And the Bible says, I am not condemned. That means the same word as judge. I'll not be judged. Why? For his name's sake. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 6:11, ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus. Justified means that I'm just like I've never sinned at all. Not only did God wipe the film off, but God said it's just like I never brought the film. It's just like the devil never took the picture. You see, in heaven, ladies and gentlemen, in the book of life, if you looked at my name tonight or any saint's name, child of God's name, you wouldn't find a place where it's been erased. You wouldn't find a place where it's been put down. I'm justified. Just as if I'd never sinned. Well, how do you know it? His name. His name's at stake. He said that I was justified. And that's what it says. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That isn't all. I will live forever because of his name. John 20:21, but these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and that believing you might have life through his name. You know why I'm sure I'm going to heaven? Because the entire reputation of Jesus Christ himself depends upon his veracity. And the Bible says he cannot lie. He cannot lie. He tried. He couldn't do it. If he tried to lie, it'd end up being the truth. He said, I'm gonna stretch this a bit. He couldn't stretch it. He's not able to. Just like some of you aren't able to tell the truth. He can't lie. The Bible says God cannot lie. What does that mean? That means his name is dependable, and what he said, his name is behind what he said. He said, I can depend on him. By the way, now, he's the only one whose name is dependable. neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. That's why the priest can't forgive your sins, because you can't depend on his name. That's why I can't do it, because you can't depend always on my name. Nobody has perfect integrity. Nobody has perfect memory. Nobody has perfect articulation. Nobody has perfect understanding. And so, because of those and other reasons, there's not a person here who's always dependable. But there is one. He's not a priest. He's not a bishop. He's not an archbishop. He's not one of the College of Cardinals or even the Cubs. He's not a pastor. He's not a rabbi. He's not a pope. And if the pope says he can forgive your sins, he's a dirty liar. Priest says he can absolve your sins, he's a dirty liar. None other name under heaven. Ask a question, is the priest under heaven? He's under heaven. Is the pope under heaven? Yeah, he's under heaven, probably still, always will be. Is the rabbi under heaven? Yep, he's under heaven. Is the archbishop under heaven? Yep, he's under heaven. Is communion table under heaven? Yep, it's under heaven. Is the baptistry under heaven? Yep, it's under heaven. Is the sacrament or the sacraments under heaven? Yep, they're under heaven. Let me tell you somebody that's not under heaven. He's sitting right now at the right hand of the Father. There is none other name under heaven whereby you must be saved. You can trust his word. That's what it means when it says, blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord. What does it mean? It means blessed be the fact that you can count on him. There is a name I love to hear, I love to sing, it's worth. Worth. Didn't say I love to sing its name, it's worth. It sounds like music in my ear, the sweetest name on earth. What is it? You can depend on it. We preach on the name of Jesus, and that's good. And I've preached some sweet sermons, and other preachers have, on the name of Jesus. And we're talking about Jesus and who he is, and looking at his face and how sweet his name is. But that's not what I'm preaching about tonight. I'm preaching about the name of Jesus means he is always dependable. He said he'd forgive your sins. If you're a child of God, he said, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. If he said it, get down here on your knees, ask God to forgive you for your sins, and go back to your pew forgiven. But how do I don't feel like it. No matter whether you feel like it or not, he said it. You walk down this aisle tonight, admit that you're a sinner, admit that you're going to hell, admit that Jesus Christ came, born of a virgin, lived a perfect life, went to Calvary, paid the penalty for your sins, rose after 72 hours for your justification, get on your knees and say, on the basis of the fact that I'm a sinner and I'm lost and Jesus paid the penalty, I'm trusting him as my Savior. Go back to your seat with your name written in heaven and sins forgiven. Sins brought it out. How do you know? His name's at stake. His name is at stake. I was talking to a certain banker. He said, Reverend, you just tell me how much money you want. You can get it. Now, he didn't mean millions and millions of dollars, but you know what he meant. Up to $10. He said, your name is tops in this bank. Now, what did it mean? It means everybody that likes the word Jack. They come in the morning and say, oh, hail the power of Jackie boy. They like J-A-C-K. Is that what he meant? Or is it the word Hiles that sounds like music to their ears? He wasn't talking about my pronunciation of my name or the spelling of my name. He was talking about what that name on that note represents. And brother, when God put it in the book, chalk it up. Every once in a while, I'll be driving down the street and I'll turn a Chicago Bulls basketball game on. And somebody will shoot a three-point shot. Tony Q coach will shoot a three-point shot. And the announcer goes, kaboom! Is that what he says? Kaboom. Is that it? Kaboom? Huh? Kaboom. Yeah. He says, he shoots from 20 feet out. Kaboom! What he meant was, it's through there. And Jesus said it, kaboom! Kaboom! Come down tonight and claim 1 John 1:9, walk back and say, kaboom! Come down tonight if you're not saved, trust Jesus, walk back and say, kaboom! What he says, he'll do. He'll keep his promise to me. He has never spoken or broken any promise spoken. You know why? Because you can depend on his name. Our Heavenly Father.